This is Firepower, only at band.video. And now, your host, Will Johnson.
Good evening. It is Friday evening, firepowernews.com. Okay, the Socialist Democrats are at war with America and reality. Look, I don't take no pleasure in talking about the dead. But we have Elijah Cummings is now Elijah Goings away for good. I'm willing to bet that many people that he represented in his in the communities, his constituents, are not sad that he's gone. He created these rat hole conditions for them to live in. I bet you many are probably saying, hopefully they get someone better than him to come along and do a good job. President Trump brought it to light what he was doing. The Democrats generally believe they have to change what reality is. They believe that they have the truth on everything that we see and everything that we do. They believe that we should follow along their ideology. On top of that, you have the Democrats that want to reject God, but at the same time, they want to interject God into everything that they do when it comes to the public eye. But many people see exactly how they're lying. They like to refer to the Bible, and then they try to twist the holy word to fit their demonic views. This spiritual battle that we're seeing is something that we should not take lightly. We're actually seeing people with a reprobate mind. They truly believe all of these evil things that they're doing, that they're pushing onto our children, is a good thing. When it comes to reality, the Socialist Democrats, they believe that they have to conform our thinking or we're going to be removed from society. They already do it on social media. We see it on a day-to-day basis. Now, I've had many conversations with progressives, and they would argue with me that 2 + 2 can be something else other than 4. Believe it or not, I've also had conversations with God-fearing people, and they said that they never in a million years thought that we would be living in the times that we see right now. Many people say it would never happen in my lifetime, but yet we're seeing it right now. I don't know about you, but I never prayed for anyone in political office until the election of 2016. And many of you did pray that Trump would become president in 2016, and God heard our prayers. That's what a lot of the Democrats don't understand, is how is it they cannot take President Trump out? Because God is on our side, because God is on the side of right. On top of that, you have so many people starting to pay attention to politics, starting to pay attention to how God is in all of this. And you have many people want to reject God and want to remove God out of everything that we do. You always hear you can't mix politics and religion. But in some states, I know that I've gone to, when I lived, for example, in Arkansas, when I went to the polls, it was at a church. Not to say that the church was pushing their ideology onto us, but it was still at a church. And it's just kind of ironic to me. So what's happening is that more and more people, all of us, we need to get on our knees and be thankful for what God has blessed us for and what God has blessed us with. And that is President Trump. And on top of that, we have someone that I completely respect, and that is Roger Stone. He is showing everything exactly what it is.
And my family, and I urge you to pray for the president and for the country and for all of our leaders.
Absolutely. We have to pray for all of our leaders. We have to get on our knees and recognize where we are. My name is Will Johnson. This is Firepower. And we'll be back after this.
no coincidence, is it, that Elijah Cummings shared a name with an Old Testament prophet, whose name meant in Hebrew, "The Lord is my God," and who used the power and the wisdom that God gave him to uphold the moral law that all people are subject to, and because of, all people are equal. Like the prophet, our Elijah could call down fire from heaven. But he also prayed and worked for healing. He weathered storms and earthquakes, but never lost his faith. Like that Old Testament prophet, he stood against corrupt leadership of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel.
Wow, you know what? That's completely amazing to me. How Elijah Cummings is going to call fire from the sky like he's a prophet, like he's a god. This is what how they think. And you know what? They completely twist God's word. I mean, 100%. This man created asshole city conditions for these people that were in Baltimore. And so we're supposed to be like, oh, yeah, he was a great man. You know, I listened to some of it as much as I could stomach. And they were, it's like they're completely lying about him. Oh, he was a great man. He was looking after all the people. And why, if that was the case, then President Trump would have never been able to tweet what he tweeted about Elijah Cummings in his district. It would have never happened. But that wasn't the case. President Trump was able to say something. And guess what? The Democrats got upset because he mentioned something. To my understanding, Tom, Cummings was on his, he was in the hospital at the time working on how to impeach President Trump. And I'm just assuming that when he was working on and go through all his documentation that he couldn't find a pathway to impeach President Trump. So he probably like, oh, I can't take it. I can't take it. And checked out.
Well, I mean, it's really a low moment, even for Hillary Clinton, a low person though she may be, to take a swipe at President Trump while comparing a man who let his constituents down for decades to a biblical prophet. I mean, what a strange, strange eulogy Hillary just gave that the viewers just saw. I mean, to compare President Trump to the corrupt leaders of biblical times and say that Cummings is just like the biblical Elijah for standing up against these corrupt leaders. I mean, this woman has to be certifiably insane. I mean, who wouldn't be? And you know, yes, that's what the reports say, Will, that Elijah Cummings was on his deathbed. He didn't know it would be his deathbed at the time, but he's sitting there in the hospital, barely conscious, clinging to life, and he's signing subpoenas to get more Republicans in there so they can try to flip somebody against President Trump. It's disturbing. And like you said in the monologue, Will, the left has trained us like diligent little puppies that you should never mix politics and religion. But the fact is the two are intrinsically linked together. And then so they've trained all conservatives. OK, keep it separate. Keep it separate. Church and state. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton gets up there and delivers a eulogy saying that the Democrats are the Old Testament leaders. They are the servants of God here on earth. It's absolute insanity what that woman was just spouting.
100%. And you know what? I noticed that Hillary Clinton and the rest of the Democrats, they do that when they're predominantly their audience is black, as if, you know, oh, they're pandering. I mean, they're straight up pandering. I mean, right. I'm surprised she didn't change her accent. You know, maybe she heard too much about it. So she didn't, you know, bring that Southern drawl back in because she was talking to all of them, you know. But
well, you know, instead of holy water, I'm surprised she didn't bring out the purse and start spritzing everyone with hot sauce as far as she can throw.
I don't think that she can, be honest with you, I don't think she can handle holy water in her hands. It would probably burn her fingers. I mean, seriously, I'm just being honest here. I mean, she probably smells like sulfur. I mean, rumor has it. But anyways, I digress. You know what? Maybe he did have a change of heart while he was in the hospital. Probably not. I doubt it. Maybe the last few seconds he said, maybe it quite possible that Cummings said, Lord, please forgive me. I know I was wrong and all this stuff that I was doing and trying to control people on planet Earth. And maybe he said that right before he checked out. Probably not. But I'm just saying we'll give him the benefit of the doubt because people can change. And what I'm leading up to is that, you know, we have someone like Kanye West. Kanye West appears to have changed. You know, he changed because I remember before there was a video with Kanye West where he made a statement saying that he sold his soul to the devil. And I've seen him say that on stage. But now it's like maybe he's trying to, you know, get his soul back or try to keep it or what have you. But now he's really coming out there and speaking up for Christ. And you know what? I think him doing this may reach people that need to be reached. So let's play that video.
My job is to spread the gospel, to let people know what Jesus has done for me. You know, I've spread it a lot of things. I there was a time I was letting you know what high fashion had done for me. I was letting you know what the Hennessy had done for me. I was letting you know all these things. But now I'm letting you know what Jesus has done for me. And in that, I'm no longer a slave. I'm a son now, a son of God. I'm free.
I have to tell you, when I became a born again Christian, it was a moment for me, but I've always believed in God. But I remember the day where I committed myself to God and everything. It was, I was a lot younger than I am now, but, I still remember that day like it was just yesterday. And maybe, you know, maybe Kanye has woken up and he has such a huge reach. Then you have all of these people upset with him because he's saying that he believes in Christ now.
Right. Well, I mean, if you kind of trace back, the last 2 years or so of Kanye West's life have really been, in a way, illustrative of what's happened to America. We've had a awakening in this country where people are coming back to God and coming back to biblical principles of government. I mean, it started when Kanye endorsed President Trump and said, I love this man, and started wearing his Make America Great Again hat on stage. Yep. Now, in the past 18 months or so, he's taken the next step. I mean, this was a similar path for me of realizing that this is not the workings of mortal man, that this is God. And now today he's, of course, released a new gospel album. He said that he will never release secular music again. He's going to focus exclusively on gospel. He leads Sunday choir services with tens of thousands of people where everybody is going to hear the word. And my favorite, he's called the music industry and Hollywood. He said that they are controlled by demons and Satan. I mean, the guy, I think you're right, Will, because the left, Alex Jones talks about this, as do many others. They sell their soul, metaphorically or literally, to Satan for their all of their achievements. And in reality, that's not Satan doing that. That's them with God's will. So they don't have to sell their soul. They can reclaim it at any time and they can get back on the path toward righteousness. And it's amazing to see this happen with Kanye West.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know what? I think a lot of those on the left, they don't want to go to God. They reject God as much as possible. And what was it, in 2012, the DNC rejected God when they all took a vote? I mean, so they want to remove God. They've already removed God from schools. They removed God from the courthouse. They want to remove God from public venues, from athlete venues. I mean, so they reject God as much as possible. So when they see someone like Kanye speaking up for President Trump, speaking up for Christ, they come unglued and they don't like it. So we have another clip here with President Trump helping African-Americans. And he says, we're acting, not talking. This is beautiful. Let's go to that clip.
Our neighborhoods and protecting our own forgotten communities. All my life. That's right. Make America great. Couldn't have said it better than you did. Thank you. Thank you, darling. All my life, I've been committed to advancing fairness and opportunity for the African-American community. And today I'm here before you with the empty, and we have to say, we've had so many people with empty political rhetoric. We're doing the opposite. We're acting, not talking. People have talked. They've talked.
Absolutely.
They've talked a lot.
That's why we have someone like President Trump. And thank God we have someone like President Trump in office right now Because had we had Hillary Clinton, there'd be more black people locked up. And for some reason, black people still voting Democrat. Don't understand it. Don't know why. We'll be back after this. Welcome back. I'm sorry. You know, I was just sitting there listening to the tune. It's Friday night. We are going to take your phone calls in the second hour. We are going to take your phone calls in the second hour if you want to call in and talk to us about all of the different things that took place this week with myself and Mr. Tom Papert. So, Tom, now, we all know how China has been influencing social media and Hollywood. And now they're influencing, or I guess they've been influencing the NBA and sports athletes, I guess because of all the billions of dollars they have tied in into their shoes and the jerseys and the money that they're making. And they're bowing down and they love China because the money that they're making them. And they don't want to go any other way. So we have a clip with Mike Pence where he's addressing the issue about how they are looking at China, you know. So let's play this clip with Mike Pence. And you know what? President Trump did a fabulous job by selecting Mike Pence. So let's go to that clip.
And some of the NBA's biggest players and owners who routinely exercise their freedom to criticize this country lose their voices when it comes to the freedom and rights of the people of China. In siding with the Chinese Communist Party and silencing free speech, the NBA is acting like a wholly owned subsidiary of that authoritarian regime.
That's exactly it. What do you think, Tom?
No, that's totally true. I mean, Mike Pence hit the nail on the head, and I'm very glad that Americans are starting to wake up to the fact that China is buying up and controlling our every form of entertainment. The NBA is just the latest example, and it's a glaring one because you have the entire basketball association all bowing down to China in a uniform manner. And beyond that, I mean, we've seen it happen in movies over the past 15 or 20 years with China buying up the majority of production houses. And if not that, they desperately want their movies to be picked up in China, so they do a pro-China message. We've seen it even in something as seemingly innocuous as video games, where you have Blizzard, who makes the very popular World of Warcraft, banning anybody who dares to say free Hong Kong, and they're banning people for saying make America great again. Our entire media, our entire sports, our entire entertainment system is totally dependent and owned and bowing to China, and it's refreshing to see Mike Pence say this, to see President Trump say this, to see millions of Americans and our viewers at home have been, they've been hip to this for 10, 15, 20 years now. It's great to see the rest of the country catch up to us.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, but you still have some players out there, of course, like LeBron James, not even knowing what he's saying, just talking out of side of his neck. But then you also, now we have Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley, where he decides to say something and jump into the ring as well. So let's go to Charles Barkley and hear him open his pie hole.
Wavered. Well, let me say this. First of all, Ben, Vice President Pence needs to shut the hell up, number one. All American companies are doing business in China.
Not true.
All American companies are doing business in China.
Not true.
I thought the criticism of Commissioner Silver and LeBron James was unfair. Listen, Daryl Morey, who I like, he can say whatever he wants to, but there are consequences. But I don't understand why these holy endowed politicians, if they so want to worry about China, won't they stop all transactions with China? President Trump
has been...
You know what, Tom? It's not about being holier than thou. That has nothing to do with it. He's just sitting there saying that you're bowing down to China because they don't like the fact that someone used their freedom of speech in America. That's what it's about. It's not even about businesses doing business with China. Now, if you don't want to do business with China, then that should be your prerogative. It's not. No one is telling anyone not to do business with them. Mike Pence didn't do that. He's just basically talking about our freedoms in this country. And Charles Barkley don't get it. He can't wrap it around his mind.
Well, that's right. I mean, look, China, there are reports from a dozen different outlets now that they have actual concentration camps where they are re-educating, quote unquote, the Uyghur Muslim population. I mean, it's horrifying. You read these stunning first person accounts of what's happening there. So just imagine if this were 1937 and you have American sports professionals saying, well, you can't criticize Hitler. Look, everybody, I mean, it sucks to bring up Hitler, but this is the most direct comparison. There is. Trump's not Hitler. Putin's not Hitler. But you've got an unelected dictator in China who is throwing people in concentration camps. And the real holier than thou people in the media are telling us that they're above criticism.
Yeah, absolutely. Then we have another clip here. I want to get in real quick, which Shaquille O'Neal has a response to that. So let's go to that video with Shaquille O'Neal.
Time in China, then it's almost like, what are you doing this weekend, Shaq?
Going to China.
Yeah, because you've been there a lot for, I assume, for business over there.
Yes.
So how did you watch as all this played out?
We as American people, we do a lot of business in China, and they know and understand our values, and we understand their values. And one of our best values here in America is free speech. We're allowed to say what we want to say, and we're allowed to speak up about injustices, and that's just how it goes. And if people don't understand that, that's something that they have to deal with. But, you know, I just think, thought it was unfortunate for, you know, both parties, and then you got people speaking when they don't know what they're talking about. But, you know, Daryl Morey was right. Whenever you see something wrong going on anywhere in the world, you should have the right to say, that's not right, and that's what he did. And but again, you know, when it comes to business, sometimes you have to tiptoe around things. But again, they understand our values, we understand our values, and here we have the right to speak, especially with the social media. We're going to say whatever we want to say, when we want to say it.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and that's what Charles Barkley should have said in the beginning. But you know what? He had to come out and disrespect the vice president. I guarantee if they were disrespecting Joe Biden when he was under Obama, then they were like, oh, you can't be disrespectful like that. I guarantee that they would have been saying that. But here in this case, because he's the VP to President Trump, they don't see that. Speaking of President Trump, they're still after impeachment over nothing. Zero, not a zip. And you know, I actually just saw a tweet with President Trump saying that they don't even want to have testimony from the whistleblower now. I mean, this is amazing how they're going. American people are waking up to it. So before we go out, let's go to this other video with CNN interviewing people like, oh, just move on. Let's go.
We've come to measure voter appetite for impeachment.
I think it's a waste of the taxpayers' money.
You don't really follow the whole impeachment thing.
No, I don't really know much about it at all.
I don't think he's broken the law, and I wish they would vote on trying to make things right in America versus wasting their time and money, our money, on a lost cause.
Do you think that it changes the minds of Trump supporters?
I do not. I think the ones of us that support him will continue to support him. If you look at the economy, there's no way to deny that we're doing pretty amazing.
Sherry Price hasn't changed her mind.
Positive.
He don't need to be taken out. He's the only one who's going to tell the truth, and he can't be bought.
If it was out in the open and everything was discussed and he did something wrong, impeach the guy.
Well, I can't imagine that CNN actually aired that. We'll be back.
Firepower with Will Johnson.
All right, welcome back. It is Friday night. Friday night, Will Johnson, Tom Pepper, firepowernews.com, and also Band.video, please. Band.video, I'm asking everyone right now on the planet, because we are worldwide, please go to Band.video and go to Firepower. At the top left, you see the little hamburger stack. You can click on that and go down to Firepower News. And then once you go there, you will get the live feed. Share that live feed with all of your friends. You see that? That is absolutely awesome. All right, so we're going to bring our guest on with us here in just a second. His name is Peter DeBrasca. Now, he's a congressional candidate in North Carolina, and he was just banned from Twitter for 12 hours for posting a meme. Oh, such a mean thing for him to do, despite Twitter's pledge not to ban political candidates. They're not supposed to do that, are they? You know, but see, that's what they're trying to do to President Trump. I mean, it is amazing how the censorship is working, right? Oh, we want to ban conservatives, but leave the leftist liberals alone, because then you're doing something that's not right. But see, banning us, conservatives that support President Trump, they fix it in their mind that it's a good thing. All right, so we have Tom and we have Peter. There he is. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, Will. Thanks for having me back. Hey, Tom.
Cool, cool. So you were banned on Twitter for was the meme violent? Was it sexual content? Was it? I haven't seen the meme, so that's why I'm asking. Was it? What was it? Was it mean?
the meme, Will, was very mean, and it said a bad word, which you probably shouldn't say or shouldn't let your kids say. It said, "Shut up, liberal." And that was enough to get me a 12-hour suspension from Twitter during the middle of my congressional campaign.
What?
It was a funny meme. I thought it was good for the context. You know, I'm not a meme magician or anything like Tom is, but I do my best to inject a little bit of the humor into this politics thing, because if not, we'll all go crazy. And it turns out that Jack Dorsey was having none of that yesterday. So, you know, it is what it is. I will sue Twitter if they permanently ban my account during my campaign. I mean, that is a warning shot to Jack Dorsey. I'll be very clear about that. Your 12-hour suspension slap on the wrist is one thing. But if you're going to take me out of the game completely, I mean, I have more followers on Twitter than my opponent does, who is an incumbent Republican. If he takes me off Twitter, if Jack Dorsey takes me off Twitter, that will significantly hamper my campaign. And there will be legal repercussions for Twitter. There's never been a case like that, as far as I know, in American history. But I imagine that the Federal Election Commission would have something to say about that. So mess around and find out, Dorsey. See what happens.
Wow. Shut up, liberal.
Yeah, and he's not kidding. I mean, I saw the meme. That's all it said. It was kind of a very innocent meme. So, Peter, one of the things that was my understanding is I thought Twitter pledged that they were no longer going to ban political candidates or elected officials. They might put your tweet in like a quarantine state, but they're not going to ban you. I mean, do you know anything about this?
I had heard that too. But if you asked what my level of surprise would be that Twitter lied about something, like, you know, 10 being greatly surprised and 0 being not surprised at all, I'm at like a -1, you know. I think that they're probably going to continue to do what they've done to all conservatives who are influential and who have had any effect on the national discourse, if they can't overtly ban you like they did to me yesterday, they'll shadow ban you and they'll throttle your content so that other people can't see it. I mean, this is a battle that we are going to continue to fight until some action is taken to mandate that these companies do not, interfere with conservative thought and opinion just because they disagree with what we believe in.
Yeah, you know, Kamala Harris is trying to ban President Trump on Twitter because now he's at 66.1 million followers. So, I think you, me, Tom, anyone else who's out there other than President Trump, they feel, I guess, that we're fair game. And with you running for political office, they shouldn't even be doing that. If anything, they should say, okay, you're hurting someone's feelings by telling them to shut up. Can you please refrain from being so violent towards the liberals, please? I mean, I can understand if they would have sent you that, but then that would have been great too. You came on to tell us, yeah, they sent me a letter saying don't tell the liberals to shut up. They, you know what? They will put stuff on Twitter about assassination of President Trump, and that runs rampant. That's okay. What, I mean, do you think this is going to increase more from 2020? Do you think they're going to be, at some point, they're going to be like, okay, well, we need to stop doing this the closer we get 2020, or just ban more people?
Yeah, I think it's only going to get worse, to be honest. I mean, if you look at what Twitter does now, they banned everybody for the most part who was at all influential in the 2016 election of President Trump, right? I mean, like Laura Loomer and Milo and Gavin and Alex Jones. And I mean, the only person that's left really is Paul Joseph Watson, right? So, you know, those people are already all gone. And then, you know, they've become, in my opinion, at least more sort of tricky about how they silence people. They stopped doing it so overtly. And now they've started to do it sort of silently, sort of, you know, by shadow banning you and making sure that people can't come to your page and see anything. Now, the other thing that I've written a few pieces about over the last couple of months is that Twitter is planning on marking President Trump's tweets that they claim violate their terms of service as sensitive material, which will essentially allow you to opt out of seeing them on the news feed. So like if Twitter says, hey, you know, this tweet from President Trump breaks our terms of service, it'll have that like shield over it that essentially says, this tweet contains sensitive material. If you want to see it, you can click on it. If not, leave it alone. I mean, that in itself is a form of censorship. And Twitter has outrightly said that that's what it's going to do. So overall, I mean, I think it's going to get worse. I don't think Trump will ever be banned from Twitter. I think that Kamala Harris is dropping like a rock in the polls and is trying to make waves in any way that she can.
Yeah, exactly.
to stay relevant, right? And so she's making these sort of outlandish claims, but it's just, it's not going to happen. You know, they'll never ban him outright. But they will, you know, they will go after smaller targets like myself and like anybody who is sort of an influencer online. I don't really like that term, but if you have a lot of followers and you're saying things that are, you know, anywhere sort of right of Lenin or Stalin, then, you know, you can expect to be a target.
So, Peter, we've got just over a minute left in the segment. In the last segment, viewers saw residents of North Carolina, some of whom may be your constituents should you win, saying that they're not interested in impeachment and they wish it would all just kind of, they wish the Democrats would lay off. So I'm curious, do you think that, I mean, I think I know the answer, but do you think in the last minute or so we have left, do you think Twitter is going to stifle people like you who would give voice to these people in elected office?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure that they're already doing it. I'm sure that they'll continue to do it until the GOP puts its foot down in Congress and says, look, you have to give, I mean, you know, platform usage is a civil right, or you have to allow people to have political opinions. I mean, social media, we've been over this, you know, 100 times, is the modern day public square. You must be able to express your opinions on there freely. If you can't, you can't participate in political discourse. And that's obviously totally anti-American. So I think they're going to keep going until we do something about it. And when I get elected to Congress, that'll be, you know, one of my top agenda items. You know, this is a very serious issue. And going forward, we're going to need to address it.
All right. So for everyone that's watching, we are talking to Peter DeBrosca. He's a candidate for North Carolina. Just banned on Twitter for putting out a meme. You know what? I put memes out all the time. And you know what? I'm going to have to test it out too myself. I'm going to put one out there saying, shut up, liberal. Just shut up. Shut up, why don't you? We don't want to see you. So please, show some love. Go to Peter's Twitter page right now and show some love. Say, hey, Will Johnson sent me. All right, we'll see you in a minute. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. Hey, we got a breaking news. You see it on the screen? Shut up, liberal. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up, liberal. Breaking news. You need to shut up. Yeah, move it that way a little bit more. Yep, keep it comic. There you go, right there. Right there. Bang! Shut up, liberal. If you're triggered by it, I like it. Thank you, Peter, for bringing this to our attention. As soon as you tell liberals to shut up, they come unglued all the way up to the big tech. All right. Thank everyone for joining us. We are back. Tom Pepper, Will Johnson, Firepower News. We have Peter DeBrosca. that is triggering liberals at a new, whole new level simply by telling them to shut up. Welcome back, fellas.
It's good to be back. I mean, I really, you're right. It's surprising that three little words get all the way up into Jack Dorsey's head, get him knocking off the platform like that for 12 hours. It was a form of psychological warfare against me too. Well, I had to say it's pretty interesting because they let me scroll through the timeline when I was suspended, but I couldn't like anybody's tweets or retweet anything or like direct message anybody. So they're like, here, you can see it, but you can't do anything with it. How do you like that?
Almost like being in purgatory, right? I mean, like you're floating around like you're a ghost. You can see everyone's lives moving on, but you can't interact with them.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's second nature for a lot of us who use Twitter often. When you're scrolling through to, like, hit the like button or whatever, you totally forget about it, and then it brings you back up to your ban page if you hit the button. It tells you a little countdown to how much time you have left until you can speak freely once again. So, yeah, fun times. I really enjoyed that. Thanks, Jack Dorsey. Hoping to be put into Twitter jail again pretty soon. I'm on parole now. I'll be very careful.
Yeah. I know. Let me jump in real quick. I know Tom's going to ask a question, but, you know, I actually just saw the actual meme you put out there, and it's with the penguin holding his sidearm, and that's probably what got him really triggered. Oh, no, he's telling us to shut up with a penguin holding a sidearm.
Yeah,
but did they ban Kathy Griffin when she was holding the severed head of Donald Trump? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I mean, of course, right? I mean, we're talking about a platform here, Will, that has literal ISIS agents recruiting people and, like, posting videos of beheadings and whatnot. And you're going to tell me this cartoon penguin with a six-shooter is, like, out of bounds? Give me a break. I mean, it's peak Twitter, right? And maybe I should know better and watch myself a little bit, being a congressional candidate and so forth, supposed to be professional.
You're not being politically correct. That's the problem.
Exactly, right? I just, you know, I dunked on this guy pretty hard, and Jack Dorsey didn't want to see that. So I'm sorry. I profusely apologize to our tech overlords. It will not happen.
So, Peter, one of the fascinating things is this is not your first tango with Twitter. In fact, you're one of the, like, two or three people out there who have danced with death when it comes to Twitter and come back to tell the tale. And it's a very interesting tale. How did you manage your Twitter account about a year ago now, or maybe less, was completely banned, taken down from the platform, and you got it back. So tell folks how that happened. Because it's an interesting story.
Yeah, I got totally nuked towards the beginning of this year. I couldn't log on, couldn't access anything, couldn't see the feed or anything like that. It was totally dead. And then we actually visited the Twitter office in Washington, D.C., and we spoke to a fairly reasonable gentleman inside, who I probably shouldn't name on this network because then all of you who get banned are going to send him emails. and he essentially did, like, a personal review of the case. I mean, I kind of just pled with him, you know, like, human to human. We had an actual conversation. I said, look, man, I'm a reporter by trade. I need this for my job. And, you know, 5 hours later or whatever, I logged into the account and it was back up. So I am probably one of the only people that's ever been perma-banned and then brought back. And of course, they gave me some kind of excuse that it was a mistake and they thought my account was spam or whatever. But at that point, I wasn't going to argue with them over reasoning. I was just glad to be back.
Peter, if I remember right, that was because you wrote hashtag learn to code, correct?
It might have been. Yeah, you know, I can't really remember all of the dumb stuff I've written on Twitter, which is probably, you know, it's in the thousands of tweets for sure. And I'm not going to delete any of them either because, you know, frankly, I stand by whatever I say. But it was definitely during that time period. So it's possible that was the case. Either way, I was pleasantly surprised on that occasion that I could go have a reasonable chat with a human being and get them to restore the account. For those who don't live in proximity to Washington, D.C., obviously it's a totally different story. I had several users from like Ireland trying to get me to go up to D.C. for him to talk to this guy to get his account restored after it was banned. You know, so I could have turned it into like a black market business. But I guess that's sort of beside the point.
Well, just imagine had you put the meme with an AR-15 in the penguin.
Yeah, probably would be gone forever. My campaign.
Yeah, they were like, oh, no. They'll probably call you white nationalist and everything else. It's, oh, no, he's trying to do mass murder on with the meme. You know, I mean, seriously, you have, like I said, they have Kathy Griffin, Snoop Dogg in a video depicting where he was shooting President Trump. And they're still on Twitter. I guarantee that they were never put in a 12-hour, 24-hour, 10-hour, 5-minute ban on Twitter. Never. Yeah, why is it? Right. Why do you? Let me ask you this. Why do you think they give leftists a pass to do horrible things like this, but then when you put something out there with a cartoon penguin, they hit you? Why do they get the pass?
They're just like leftist politicians and the leftist media in that, you know, they believe that they are on the right side of history, right? Like they believe that they are the purveyors of everything that is moral and everything that is good and everything that is just and everything that is fair. And thus they have the right, or they should have the ability to police what it is that people say, right? I mean, why wouldn't you? If you believe, if
that's
you
right.
truly believe,
they want to police what we think.
Right.
Sorry.
If you truly believe that you are the arbiter of morality, which the political left does, despite the fact that it lacks all morals completely, why wouldn't you, you know, try and decide what people can and can't say? Why wouldn't you ban your political opponents from your platforms and say, oh, well, you can't say that, while your side does much worse, right? So this is like little game that they play. They pretend to be morally superior, despite the fact that they're the degenerates, despite the fact that they're the violent ones, despite the fact that they're the ones that are shutting down speech, and they still claim to be the good guys. It's a charade that, you know, as tiresome as it gets for us to keep repeating over and over and over again, it does bear repeating. I mean, we have to keep saying it. We have to keep pointing out that hypocrisy and hope that eventually it'll make a change.
So, Peter, we've just got a couple minutes left here, and I want to ask you, because we're seeing now censorship at the hands of China. China doesn't like it when some NBA guy says something on Twitter, so the entire NBA grovels and apologizes. And, of course, your district, you were telling us last time, is completely, in a lot of ways, owned by China when it comes to farmers. So give us your thoughts on how China fits into this censorship battle.
Yeah, so it's totally fascinating, right? I mean, you have the woke NBA, which prides itself on being the social justice, you know, professional sports league. And then once their business is in jeopardy, once their bottom line could be hurt, all of a sudden at the drop of the hat, they don't want to talk about social justice anymore. They don't want to talk about freedom or what's right or what's moral. They don't want to fight on behalf of people who are actually oppressed in China and who actually could have been hurt by this extradition bill that would have allowed for the mainland Chinese Beijing to extradite, you know, suspected criminals to essentially face, you know, charges without trials, without due process, without any of the rights that we have here. So the NBA doesn't want to talk about that because it might hurt their bottom line. And what I want to just make very clear is that if you are a social justice warrior, when it doesn't affect you, when there is no personal effect on you, but then you stop the moment that it could hurt your cash flow or the money that you bring in the door, you're not brave. You're a coward. That's what cowardice is, right? These people are cowards. And they showed that during this, you know, they did, Apple did. Apple was doing the same thing where they banned the Hong Kong Maps app that the protesters were using in order to organize and rally in the streets. Yep. These people are cowards. They are not brave in any sense of the word.
Well, awesome. Well, hey, you know what? Thank you for coming on with us. It's always a pleasure to have you join us and have these talks. And you know what? Hopefully Twitter will remove the ban after the time is up. And if they do permanently ban you, by all means, reach out to Tom, reach out to us. Let us know. We'll most definitely love to bring you back on and talk about it. All right.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. All right, everyone. We're going to take your phone calls after the top of the hour. Will Johnson, Tom Pepper. Yes. Yes. Shut up, liberal. Shut up.
Forged in the fire of truth. Firepower with Will Johnson.
All right, welcome back. We are going to take your phone calls. we're going to take your phone calls in the next segment here. So before we do that, though, I have to, you know, last night I was talking to Tom, and one of the things is that we don't do on here, and we don't do it enough, and that is plug our sponsor. And we have to plug our sponsor because of you, the viewer, the listener, because you support our sponsor makes it possible for myself and Tom to be here every single night. And as long as you believe that we're bringing the message and we're bringing the information that you see value in, we need your support. And it's more important now than ever before. And I can't express it. And I'm not telling you this just to go and get you to buy something. I'm telling you this because this is how we're here, because of you funding us. We don't have a George Soros. We don't have a Tom Steyer. We don't have a Hillary or Bill Clinton. We don't have one of these filthy, rich, leftist, communist socialists that's funding us. MoveOn.org and Indivisible and all of the other hateful leftist groups that are out there. We don't have that. All we have are the American people. We have you. So when you support our sponsor, you make it possible for us to be here. So I'm asking you, please support us. Right now, our sponsor has 40 to 70% off selected items. You can't beat the deal. Right now, you have Survival Shield X3. It's 70% off. And on top of that, you have the Gut Fusion, 50% off. Survival Shield, like I said. You have the Silver, the Super Silver Skin Cream, 30% off. The Turbo Force, all of these different products are absolutely wonderful. And also the Alexa Breeze, the Alexa Pure Breeze. You can't go wrong with it. I'll tell you this much. And throughout the studio, throughout the building, they have one of those just about every place. And the air quality inside of the building is so much better in here than it is outside. You don't see any dust floating around. I'm pretty sure you can bring dust in, but I never seen any dust just sitting on the counter, on the desk, or anything, because they have the air filtration system throughout the building. And it's absolutely wonderful. I mean, because there's a lot of toxins in the air that you don't see. Now, when Tom came down, I had him try the Turbo Force experience, and he just loved it. And you know what? I love to see the expression on everyone's face when they try the Turbo Force. And I've had many people send me messages saying, "Will, I tried the Turbo Force, and I was just completely blown away on how good it was. And I love mixing it with my Turbo Force." A lot of people will do coffee. I don't really do coffee. Sometimes I do tea. But my Turbo Force with my orange juice, I can't beat it. Especially starting off the day, and you know you're going to be busy all throughout the day. That's a great way to start off. And it doesn't bring you that crash like you do on all the other ones. On top of that, Tom, you know, because people believe that what we're doing and they see what we're doing, them supporting us means so much. And a lot of people, I say, thank you. When I go through and people send me messages and they say how they like the product, and I say, thank you. I talk about the products because they work for me. Now, I don't talk about certain products because I've never tried them. I haven't tried them yet. One, the latest one that I have tried was the Beats. Can you guys put that up on the screen? I started doing that one, and I can't even tell you. It's like I take it, and maybe, I don't know, maybe it's in my head or something, but 20 minutes later, 30 minutes later, I feel so good. It's just like a wake-up call for me. And it's like, man, it's like my blood is going, you know, like the Beats. I just love it. And it just brings so much. I don't even think it geared for like giving you energy. But on top of the X2, what I like to do, I take the drop of the X2 and then I chase it with the Beat. And I'm on cloud 19 with all of the energy, and I'm just hyped up and pumped up and ready to take on the world. So I want to thank all of you, our listeners and our viewers, for supporting our sponsor. We're going to have your phone calls after this, 888-201-2244. All right, give us a call.
A assassination. We've got Governor Weld that you know saying that they need to kill the president, but meaning through a governmental execution after he's convicted. We have Phil Mudd of the CIA saying the government's going to kill this guy. We have big pushes in Hollywood promoting his death. We have Bette Midler cheerleading the guy that almost killed Rand Paul, punctured his lung, broke six ribs. What happens if they assassinate Trump, God forbid?
You know, Alex, I read the Proverbs every night and every morning. I'm doing a lot of praying, as you might imagine. I pray for the president and his family because he is the one thing that stands between globalism freedom. He is the one thing that is an obstacle to one world government and a total surrender of American sovereignty. He believes in American exceptionalism and the promise of America. He's a very, very strong guy. I worked for Nixon. I worked for Dole. I've known some tough men. Donald Trump is the toughest guy I've ever met, and he isn't doing this for himself. He's doing it for us. This has cost him $2.5 billion of his net worth. He went from being universally liked to being reviled by roughly half the people. So he's not doing this for himself to have a bigger house or a bigger
plane. He's a man on a mission. It's very Christ-like.
There's no question about it. So I appreciate those who are praying for me and my family, and I urge you to pray for the president and for the country and for all of our leaders.
Yes, we need to pray for President Trump, for all of our leaders, even the ones that we dislike. We need to pray that their eyes are going to be open and they're no longer going to be following along this tyranny that they're trying to push onto the American people. So like I said, we're going to go to your phone calls, 888-201-2244. You know, what do you think about the impeachment? What do you think about them doing everything they can to try to take out President Trump? You know, just think about that. What do you think of all the stuff that they're trying to do to take him out? So 888-201-2244. That's right. The video you just saw was Roger Stone. He's like breaking his silence, coming out, talking about President Trump, the impeachment against President Trump, how we need to pray harder, how we need to get on our knees daily for our leaders, specifically President Trump, and those that who love this country still. All right, Tom, you ready to take these phone calls? 888-201-2244. All right. Let's see. Who's our first caller here? I tell you, the screen gets smaller and smaller every day. Okay, let's go to Mary in Delaware. How you doing, Mary?
Hi, Will. I'm doing fine. Listen, this whole impeachment thing, they need to just shut up. It's not going anywhere. But I wanted to talk to you about something. On, you know, those public service, the political statements they put up? Well, down here, I saw one in Delaware where it said, Rich, talking about the justice system, and rich white men have been running it for years. And then they show a picture of a black woman and a family where the governor's now going to put in judges that can help families and help the real people. But see, when he said rich white men, why didn't he say rich white Democrats?
Well, because
these new people, are they going to be Democrats or Republicans? He's still going to have Democrats in there, but rich white men. Is he trying to start a racial war down here in Delaware?
Well, you know what? That's the motto of the Democrats. They need chaos. They need the division. They need for us to be at each other's throat. They need the violence. That is their goal. The Democrat Party's always been about division.
Yeah. And one of the things Biden talking about not having his children work in the White House. First of all, Hunter wouldn't take the cut in pay.
No, that's very true. But no, you bring up a good point. I mean, when we look at what happens with the justice system in this country, it's not rich white men who are getting everything on a silver platter and getting away with murder in some cases. It's rich white Democrats. So, yeah, you're hitting the nail on the head right there.
And I see this, and I'm like, no, it's Democrats. But every place I go, see, I'm in Lower Delaware, more Republican down here. And everybody I talk to, they can't stand what's going on, and they're all for Trump. And it's really great because I find a way how to bring it up to see how people were, you know, like where they are with this before I get into an argument with somebody. But everybody down in the southern half of Delaware doesn't agree with what's going on. All the people I've spoken to.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? We need more people like you, Mary, to recognize that and to stand up for this country. So, hey, okay. Thank you for the call. Okay, so let's go with, who's next on the list here? All right, let's go with Reed, talking about censorship.
Hey, Will, just had a question. I know you had the gentleman from Proud Boys from Florida, and then Joe Biggs also having problems with bank accounts and stuff being blocked. Have you heard anything about GoFundMes or Kickstarters? Because I'm trying to start that business with making customized hats. And I just find it awfully funny because I've been putting tweets out there pretty much every day, daily, trying to raise money for this. And I've raised $1. Mm. And I know, I thought it was the gentleman from the Proud Boys said he was having issues with them trying to censor some of his stuff when he was trying to raise money also.
Well, I can say that Enrique Tarrio, chairman of the Proud Boys, he's been totally debanked. He can no longer have a bank account with Chase Bank and I think two or three other banks now. Now, I have also heard that GoFundMe, Kickstarter, all of these platforms, anybody who gets too far right, they're kicking them off without a moment's notice because they I don't know what the thought process is yet. But yes, this is absolutely part of the entire movement that we're seeing with the members of the global Uniparty who are outside of government, where they're trying to not just ban us from social media, that's boring, ban us from this, that's boring. No, they're trying to ban us from banks. They're trying to ban us from the financial system. They're trying to make it so we can't raise money. I mean, they really do want us homeless and out on the street. So I can really sympathize with what you're going through.
Yeah, and you know, and on top of that, Reed, I've seen videos where Google, just another example, Google would encourage people to quit their day job and be content creators and make money from doing videos. But because you're a conservative or if you show support for President Trump, they tended to make it to where you can't make the money. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. They're encouraging people, but then they turn around and make it where you can't prosper from their platform because you're not saying what they want you to say. And, you know, as far as the banking systems and them not letting your message get out there, you know, that I wouldn't be surprised. It's not right, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Another question. Did you get your hat? I know it said it got sent there and you arrived yesterday.
Yeah, actually, I just got it today.
All right. And I got another hat design I came up with. It's going to say 45 caliber justice.
Nice. I like it. Send me a picture once you get it.
Have a good one.
All right. Thanks for the call.
You too.
All right. We're taking your phone calls. 888-201-2244. We have like a minute, just over a minute. So I don't want to bring another caller in, Tom, because I'm pretty sure we'll get into a question and we'll run over it. Let me say this. You know, Roger Stone, he kind of like breaking his silence. He's not talking about specifically on his case, to my understanding, but he's breaking his silence and coming out talking about President Trump and how they're trying to impeach him and how we as Americans, as people, we need to get on our knees daily and pray. That's one of the strongest things that we can do. And without prayer, we're going to be pretty much lost. So right now, just like what Roger Stone said in the last video, we've got to get on our knees and pray. And we have to pray for our leaders, even the ones we don't like. And hopefully they will see the light and they come, you know, and they'll wake up and recognize that they are on the wrong side of history. The right side of history is what President Trump is trying to do for this country. And they can't stand it because they want to take it to a different reality. They want their truth to be what the truth is. But their truth is not truth. All right. This is Will Johnson, Tom Pepper, firepowernews.com. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for supporting our sponsor, InfoWarsStore.com. We'll be back in a minute.
So Roger Stone's here. He's only begun to fight. What about Trump? You know him better than probably anybody in politics, 40-plus years. Used to be his wingman. Will Trump resign? What do you expect him to do under this pressure? He seems to be thriving under it.
Yeah, I think there's zero chance that he will resign. I think that's wishful thinking by some in the political establishment. Looking at a headline here from Mediate, Roger Stone set to violate gag order and break silence to talk impeachment. I will do nothing here today to break the gag order of the court. We're talking about issues that are completely unrelated to me or my case. In this case, Donald Trump, as I have said here many times, is a brawler. He has resources. He has the bully pulpit. One of the things I think that is hurting him is that you have a monolithic mainstream media, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and you have the slow turn of Fox. Listening to Fox during the daytime, during daytime hours, is just like listening to CNN. There is just an avalanche of disinformation. Their nighttime lineup can't be beat. Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham. I think this is the prime source for the American people who want to learn the truth about what's going on in Washington and in politics. But the president still has the bully pulpit. He still can command coverage. And he is, I think, the greatest counterpuncher in American politics.
Yeah, you know what? Trump is unstoppable. The Democrats, they know this. Trump is 100% unstoppable, and they don't know what else to do. It's like, we got to try to do something, impeach him, and everything has failed. They've been trying to get rid of President Trump when they saw him coming down the escalator. They've been trying to figure out how to get rid of him. All right, so we're going to go back to your phone calls. Will Johnson, Tom Pepper, firepowernews.com. All right, so let's see who's next here. Let's go to Liz. Liz. How you doing, Liz?
I'm doing better. Listen, I want to tell you, I got my shirt, my space shirt.
Oh, you got a space shirt. Nice.
Yes. And you know what's crazy? Is I've got this patch. I don't know if I ever told you. My adopted sister, she was an environmental engineer on a space shuttle. I got all kinds of crazy stuff from the space shuttle program.
Nice.
But I've got the same patch.
I did not know that.
Wow. Yeah. But also, and I got the pitcher, too. I haven't tried the pitcher yet. You know, the water pitcher?
Oh, fantastic.
So I haven't tried it yet. I got it late yesterday. But also, have you noticed the FBI lately? You know, we got one that's flipping. They're having these people are going, losing it, you know. And then you have Paige, who basically admitted that she changed General Flynn's testimony.
Hmm. Oh, it's absolutely insane. I mean, I think we're learning, if Americans didn't already know this, the FBI is not to be trusted in any way, shape, or form. It'll be very interesting to see what happens with General Flynn's case as a result. I don't think this can possibly go the way the deep state wants to. What do you think the significance of all this is coming out now?
I think I think they've been holding on to some of this information because you know, they don't ever know what the other side's going to do, because the other side tends to bring all these, what's the word? They want to throw up all these red flags to distract from something else. Yeah, and that's what they've been doing. But this whole important thing is.
Exactly. I mean, look, what was it? Andrew McCabe, right? When they said he's going to look like he's about to be indicted. And then all of a sudden they started talking about impeachment and everyone forgot about Andrew McCabe. Oh, what happened to him? It's like, I don't even know. I mean, do you, Tom? I mean, it's like, what happened?
You know, I think they successfully faded him into the background with all of this whistleblowing nonsense. Now nobody remembers. It was at the top news story of every single publication, and then boom, yep, out like a light.
Hey, listen, Betty just sent me something. In Tennessee, there was three churches just got shot up and painted "Read the Quran" by a Muslim.
That's interesting. Now, I wonder now, I'm going to have to be skeptical, right? Is it actually a Muslim that did that, or is there someone doing a false flag?
That's what she's saying. So, I mean, I haven't had a chance to get, you know, it happened to come across when I was waiting on the phone with you, so I didn't get a chance to read it, you know, but she sent me the link. Buchanan's, let's see here.
It's interesting. Let me ask the guys in the control room. If y'all can, do y'all see that story out there anywhere? What's the title on the story, Liz?
It just says Shelbyville, Tennessee, Muslim shoots up three churches, says read the Quran, in quotes.
Okay, so I'm going to see if we have the production crew to see if they can find that. And if they have that, we'll put it up on the screen.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to let you go so you can go do your thing.
All right, thank you for the call.
Wow, look at that. That is some insane breaking news right there. I mean, if that is accurate, that's we've had a few years now without one of these crimes. Will, were you getting tired of it? I mean, ever since the Pulse a few years ago, things have been fairly quiet, largely thanks to President Trump.
Yeah. Well, you know, but you have the left. They'll come out and try to say that more white supremacists, white nationalists are attacking people because President Trump has empowered them, which is a total lie. They put out the talking points. And then people believe it. Oh, yeah, it's happening. It's happening simply because someone said it's happening.
Oh, that's so true. I'm glad you brought that up, because if you look at those numbers, we actually did a takedown on that on nationalfile.com, and you look them up and it'll say like white supremacist man beats his white supremacist wife. It's a terrorist attack. They
totally inflate
these numbers with anything they can do. It's kind of disgusting. Meanwhile, if this story winds up being true, this sounds like it could be a serious terrorist attack. I don't have it in front of me to read the details, obviously,
yeah,
but it sounds like it could be a serious attack.
Yeah, the control room, they were telling me, the producer was just telling me that the article that they were showing that with that was in 2016. So maybe they just got wind of it. So
the congratulations to President Trump again. I mean, it seems like under this presidency, these attacks have been going. They've disappeared, Will. I mean, do you remember ever since when everything was happening in 2016, we had the Pulse, we had San Bernardino. It just kept coming. Mm-hmm. We had the West Side Highway. President Trump gets into office and it's a screeching halt.
Yeah. And then except for to get a few of them here and there, and then they go, oh, it's all the white supremacists. Okay, let's go back to the phone calls here. Is this is that Marcia? Mm-hmm. Right. Talking about Trump.
Talking about Trump products and our discussion last week, where would you like to begin?
Give me the short version, because we're getting ready to run out of time here.
Okay. I had been thinking, I've never mentioned the products I use. I'll try to go quickly through some of them I remember. The Super Silver Skincare has done an amazing job. And I take the Brain Forest when I remember and have time. And that is coupled with X2, and I have been using the Silver Blue toothpaste and the mouthwash. And I have to get the Vaso Beats, and I have to get the new kind of gargle. And as for last week, I said, you know, when Alex reported that Donald Trump had been anointed by...
Hold on, Marcy. I want to hear what you got to say about that. Hold on. We're going to go to a heartbreak, and then we're going to get with you when we come back.
This is Firepower. And now, Will Johnson.
All right, welcome back, FirepowerNews.com. Will Johnson, Tom Pepper, we are taking your phone calls. We're going to go back to them, 888-201-2244. So right before we left, we were talking to Marcia, and she was starting to tell us about President Trump. So let's go to her. Let's go back to her. You still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Thank you for sticking around.
Thank you. I can't hear you during the break, but that's okay. I'm just hanging on and knowing you're not going to hang up on me. Last week I called and I said, do you have knowledge of when Donald Trump was anointed with oil and given a Jerusalem Bible when he went to the church with Dr. Ben Carson? And he said, no, you would be looking into that. I saw it about 3 or 4 years ago online. I don't know if you had a chance to look into it, and that's what I was calling to follow up on.
I do recall that, and I have to apologize. I have not had time to look at that.
Yeah, I remember Alex had some kind of audio, because I listened on the phone mostly, and the cameraman would not cut when he was told from above, cut. He says, no, I'm not going to. And eventually he was cut. But that was part of why I called tonight. And I hope you can do some more research on that and find it, because I know Alex should have it within his library somewhere.
I'm actually making note of it right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that way
Ben Carson takes Donald Trump to his church, and I'm not sure where. I think it was in Pennsylvania, but I'm not sure. And I found it for a little bit, and all of a sudden, poof, you know how it goes on the internet. It's just gone.
Yep, I'm making note of it right now. I'm making note of it right now, so that's my homework for the weekend.
Appreciate it. Hopefully, I'll see you again next week.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll, God willing, we'll be here. All right. Thank you. Okay, let's go to, let's see who's been on here the longest. Let's go to Jefferson from Virginia.
Hey, Will. Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling.
Happy Friday.
Same to you.
Carrie Porch and Mark Sidney both used the same phrase this week, and I think it's a disturbing trend where people that are fighting against socialist media say they just wanted to go back to the way it was. They both used that phrase this week, and I think that's a big mistake. We really need to take these people back to the woodshed and penalize them for what they've been doing. Facebook and
you know,
and
I
CNN
can appreciate that. I really can, but I'm almost in Mark's camp on that one. You know, if we can just get the freedom of speech recognized in this country again, I'm almost willing to give some clemency to these guys, because I think, you know, maybe they were led astray. Maybe they had a lot of folks think that President Obama was breathing down Zuckerberg's neck and saying, you will censor these people or else you know what's going to happen. And now we're seeing we're seeing Democrats all get in line to say we're going to break up these big tech companies. But so, I mean, obviously, legally, lawfully, politically, lawsuits, that type of thing, in a nonviolent manner, what do you think should be the recourse for these big tech titans who have stolen our freedom of speech away from us?
Well, we certainly can't trust them if they restore things back to the way they were, that they aren't going to have mission creep and then go back to cheating on what they've agreed to not do. And that's what makes it a ghetto, where we keep counting on them to do the right thing, and they always secretly do the wrong thing behind our backs. They were always fooling us from the beginning in the first place, so we should never trust them again to put it back the way it should be. We have to break Facebook and Google up into smaller companies that have market share portions that can compete with each other, and the original companies have to be locked into the algorithm they've chosen that makes them a biased platform, and watch them suffer when the freer platform with a freer algorithm starts making more of the money and more of the market share.
I mean, I like that idea, to be honest with you. The question is would it actually happen? I mean, I know we had like Elizabeth Warren. She came out talking about she wanted to break up the companies. And now you have some of the Democrats talking about they want to break it up. And their main reason for wanting to break up the companies is because they're not censoring conservatives enough.
Right.
And, you know, they're not removing President Trump. President Trump still has reach to millions upon millions of people. And to them, that's the major problem here. For example, if they just first, you know, did, you know, just block everyone from seeing President Trump's tweet, he put a tweet out there, no one ever responds to it, never see it, they would be happy about it. You know, we would complain, but what could we do? So I don't think they're ever personally going to change anything unless Trump decides to go to a different platform, be honest with you.
That would be the quickest way is for him to switch over to some other platform. But we still need to hold them account for what they've done and lock them into the bias that they've chosen to be, and then give some alternative within their own corporation in some subsidiary or something that has the same infrastructure but is run differently.
Yeah.
Same bandwidth, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I like that. So you had another one on here. You want to talk about Spreely too?
Yeah, Mark Sidney said exactly the same phrase that Kerry Porch said, where he just wanted it to go back the way it should be. But I'm saying that would actually be bad for Spreely if Zuckerberg actually made Facebook operate the way it used to. You want Facebook to be stuck in the way they've chosen to be and divided up, and Spreely would be able to compete with them more fairly.
Yeah, right. You would think, because the social media, they're always talking about we need to be more open and we need to be fair, right? You think, were you going to say something, Tom?
Well, I was going to say, I think to Mark's credit, he just wants the First Amendment to be respected and recognized in this country again. And I think that's probably, if he were here tonight, he'd say that's why he started Spreely, because he wants people to be able to speak freely. And I think what he's saying is, you know, if it's going to be Parler, if it's going to be Gab, if it's going to be Minds, if it's going to be any of them, MeWe, or if Facebook or Twitter or the big guys, if they want to begin respecting the First Amendment again, all the better. I think the main idea here is, and I think you're in agreement with this, is we've got to get back to a place in this country where, so long as your speech is lawful, it is respected.
Well, I'm all for that. But the other lie these guys always say in their testimony is they call their company a private company. And they're not private. They're publicly traded, and they've been publicly sponsored from the very beginning. And everybody's on the side of private enterprise. So they're trying to garner our support by calling themselves private companies when they're actually more fascistic and part of the government than anybody really realizes.
That is a very good point. That is a very good point. Because, you know, you're absolutely right. They're constantly saying they're a private company, should be able to do what they want to do. But they're
right,
publicly
and we repeat
trading.
That, yeah. Not thinking.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Hey.
I was going to say, yeah, you're absolutely right. Hey, Jefferson, thank you so much for the call. All right, let's go to, was that Hardaway from Georgia, talking about impeachment.
Hey. Yeah, just, hey, y'all, thanks for taking the call. God bless y'all.
Thank you for coming.
The impeachment is just an absolute fraud. And honestly, with I believe it's John Durham and Bill Barr, and I guess the Freedom Caucus pretty much storming into the dungeon of Adam Schiff. It's all pretty I guess compelling. It's I guess a crazy time to be alive, at least in America, with what's going on in Congress, and of course with our president. And to kind of touch up on the censorship, I just think, how crazy would this be to be going on, and if the president was just blocked off of all these social media platforms for being, you know, basically just the president.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know what? I think.
Go ahead, Will.
No, I was going to say, I think it would cause a whole bunch of hysteria. People would be completely upset. People would seriously boycott all of these platforms if they were to do that. I mean, liberals wouldn't have anyone to attack anymore. I mean, seriously, other than us, but they really just want to attack President Trump. So, all right, we're going to take more of your phone calls after the break. 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. All right. Hello, everybody. This is Will Johnson and Tom Pepper, firepowernews.com. We are about to have Tom try the Turbo Force orange juice experience for the first time. Let's do this, Tom, so everyone can see.
All right. I'm excited, Will. I knew when I came down here to do the show in person that I was going to have to try this at least once.
InfoWarsStore.com.
Going for broke, huh?
That's right.
InfoWarsStore.com. InfoWarsStore.com.
Mmm. Oh, man. You're not kidding. That just goes together. It doesn't almost taste like orange juice anymore. It's something else.
Almost.
It's special.
Yeah, right?
Wow. It just goes together perfectly.
It like gives the orange juice that
energy that is missing.
It gives
right?
it some depth. It's not so citrusy and acidic uh-huh. tasting anymore. And the thing is, you know, this is going to keep me up for the next 10 hours.
It will. It will. You know what? And then when you come back down, it won't be like a crash. That's right. What I really like about it.
That's right. Now, that is a fantastic idea.
Amazing.
It's delicious. I cannot recommend that enough to anybody out there. Put it in the orange juice, folks. He's not kidding. This stuff is awesome.
Get yours today at InfoWarsStore.com.
Yeah, I really like that little commercial spot because it actually depicts, Tom trying it for the first time. And it was just, you know, him trying it, not making it up. It wasn't scripted or anything. It was him trying it. So, all right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Look like we have Jonathan from Miami talking about Big Pharma.
Oh, yes, yes, gentlemen. Good evening. Great show, by the way, so far. Well, it's always great. Man, I'm telling you, I get in trouble at work for being too distracted from tuning into your channel all the time. Oh, man. But anyway, first of all, speaking about InfoWars Store, yeah, I just ordered some of that X2, getting ready to try that iodine challenge. I'm kind of scared, Tony. because living in a party city, you know what? Probably ingest a few things. Too many that I shouldn't, but no, this thing is about to drain my system of all of this. But I'm up for it, though. I'm up for it.
That's because, good. I started doing the X2, and I have to do it every other day because, you know, our bodies have been deprived of all these natural resources and things that our body actually needs. And then when your body's just automatically introduced with this, like, oh, yes, I need this, but... Hold on. And then your body kind of start going through extra things. But, you know, so I take it every other day, and it works out beautifully for me.
Definitely.
I don't think you have to be scared. You're going to find out really quick that it takes about maybe 3-4 days to really kick in. And then all of a sudden you're going to wake up bright-eyed and bushy-tailed first thing in the morning. Like, wow, what's going on? How do I have all this energy? And you're going to go not knowing. I mean, it really is amazing. You don't know, like you were saying, Will, you don't know what your body is doing without until you get a chance to get what your body actually needs in there. So I thank you so much for supporting our sponsor, InfoWarsStore.com. And I hope that you enjoy the iodine challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. So what did you have to say about Big Pharma?
Oh, yeah. And that ties into the iodine because, like, when I work in there, like, man, the levels, it's a big company. I'm not going to, can't say the name because, it's surprising enough, a lot of the people higher up actually monitor your broadcast. So they really do. They listen. Like, when I go to work, they're like, so, like, they'll tell me something that was on the show the previous day. I'm like, oh, you guys support this? You listen? Secret listeners. The levels of things that are in some of this medication, you know, terrifying. Like, and then I can't say anything when I'm helping people. I'm like, they're like, hey, just don't tell them about what this screen says. Just give it to them. Like, man. You know, like the levels run so deep in this industry. I'm like, man, I pray to God. Like, I had to come home and check my family's medicine cabinet. Like, hold on, let me make sure there's none of this stuff in there because this stuff will kill you.
Yeah, that's really scary. You know what? It goes to, like, similar with the toothpaste. You know, a lot of the toothpaste that's out on the shelf right now has fluoride in it. And, you know, fluoride is poisonous. And for some reason, they kind of encourage people and they tell people that, you know, you need fluoride. I remember when I was a kid, they were saying this fluoride, you know, fluoride is good for your teeth.
The fluoride day, they come around with the little cups, right? Yeah, just come up.
Yeah.
Take this.
Yep. I remember that. Yep, exactly. And now I come to find out it's bad. And that's one of the things I like about the Silver Blue toothpaste is that, you know, there's no fluoride in it. And So I have a fairly good sized family, and I buy a tube for everyone because I don't want anyone touching my tube. I'm not kidding. I buy a tube for everyone in my family and say, don't even touch mine. If you need some more, I'll buy some more, but you leave mine alone. I'm not kidding.
No, that's funny because my mom, she came to me the other day because I keep mine in the bag. And then she's like, oh, so you don't want me using your toothpaste? I'm like, I mean, you can, but I mean, like, you know, it's mine. Yeah, I'll get you one.
Exactly. I'm telling you, I'm like, don't use. Hey, you get. I'll buy you one. You leave mine alone. Because you know what? It's good. I guess I'm when it comes to like the toothpaste and the products and stuff like that. I can understand how people would be stingy about certain things. You know, we want to share it all, but InfoWarsStore.com has made it. You know, they put all these sales on there. And they make the prices so where people can get it themselves and try it. And that's the amazing thing about all of it. They actually do what they say they're going to do. And a lot of people don't even recognize it. So it's pretty awesome.
They do. Oh, last thing. Okay, so I got my little portable camera set up. I'm about to go and troll some liberals. It's about to get intense. hopefully I don't get hit over there with a bike lock, but. You know.
Well, awesome. Well, hey, do me a favor. Make sure you send it to me. Send me the video.
Oh, for sure. I'm going over there to. They have these things every Wednesday around here where they're.
Yeah. So hey.
Detention camp.
Yeah. So hey, do me a favor. Go to @ Firepower News on Twitter, and send me a link and say, hey, I got that video footage, and I'll most definitely play it on here. Get something good for us.
All right, guys, have a good night. Keep up.
All right, you
work.
Too.
You too.
Have a blessed weekend.
Calling.
All right, awesome. All right. So, Tom, another Friday, another blessed week for us to be here to talk about all the crazy stuff the left has been doing. We have another Roger Stone video we're going to lead out of here and show everyone. I think Roger Stone coming out, breaking his silence, talking about the impeachment. I don't think he's talking about his personal case, of course. But he's talking about how they're trying to take out the sitting president of the United States, which is absolutely terrible. And again, Tom, I find it an honor and a privilege always to be able to come on here Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. with you and to talk to the American people and to voice our views and opinions and to report on the news what's going on. So without further ado, God bless you, Tom. God bless America. And God bless our president, Donald J. Trump. We'll see you next Monday, everyone. God bless.
This will be a close, hard-fought election, and it will be deeply affected by what happens in this impeachment saga, which is yet to roll out. Again, my strongest warning to the president is do not view anything in Washington as Republicans versus Democrats. That is outdated thinking. This is the insiders versus an outsider. This is the status quo versus a disruptor. This is the peak that they have for Donald Trump because he stopped this country's headlong lurch for globalism. He has destroyed their plans to divide up the spoils. So I guess my message to the president is take this very seriously. Continue to demand total transparency. Stay very focused on those states with wobbly Republican senators. That is where this fight will be won or lost. The greatest obstacle to the president's reelection was the overconfidence of his supporters. I have absolute confidence in Donald Trump's ability as a campaigner. Absolute confidence in his stamina, absolute confidence in his energy, absolute confidence in his communication skills. But everywhere I would go across the country, people would tell me, Trump supporters would tell me, it's going to be a landslide. It's going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be a walk in the park. None of those things are true. They're not true. They weren't true then. They're not true now. But what the impeachment inquiry has done is galvanize the president's support as never before.